much notice. The sheep do not cease from their browsing. A girl sits balanced on the projecting tiller of a canal boat, so precariously that it seems as if a fly or the splash of a leaping fish would be enough to overthrow the dainty equilibrium. And yet all these hundreds of tons of coal and wood and iron have been precipitated, roaring past her very ear, and there is not a start, not a tremor, not a turn of the averted head, to indicate that she has even been conscious of its passage. Herein, I think, lies the chief attraction of railway travel. The speed is so easy, and the train disturbs so little the scenes through which it takes us, that our heart becomes full of the placidity and stillness of the country. And while the body is borne forward in the flying chain of carriages, the thoughts are light as the humour moves them at unfrequented stations. They make haste up the poplar alley that leads towards the town. There, left behind with the signalman as shading his eyes with his hand, he watches the long train sweep away into the golden distance. Moreover, there is still before the invalid the shock of wonder and delight with which he will learn that he has passed the indefinable line that separates north from south. And this is an uncertain moment, for sometimes the consciousness is forced upon him early on the occasion of some slight association, a colour, a flower, or a scent. And sometimes, not until one fine morning, he wakes up with the southern sunshine peeping through the persienne, and the southern patois confuses.